Welcome to episode 17 of the Worship Drummer podcast. This is John Manna, your host. You are a part of a global group of Christian drummers who are continually striving to put the heart before beat. Why? Because we believe that worship is about the work of your hands and heart. Follow along online at worshipdrummer.com, or you can always hit me up on Instagram at worshipdrummer. Thanks for listening. Enjoy this episode. What is up, Worship Drummer family? Hope you are doing well. By the time you listen to this, we will already be into September, but at the time of recording this, it's just the end of August. Our third child was just born 5 days ago on August the 25th, and in the same day, I lost my grandmother, so I had to fly out to Montreal, do her funeral service, fly back to be with my wife who just gave birth. And so it's been a crazy weekend that I'm coming off of. Nevertheless, we have episode 17 right here, ready for you, featuring none other than Jared Falk. Jared is the man behind Drumeo.com, and we're so excited to have him with us for this episode. Before we jump into it, though, I am thrilled and completely excited to finally be able to announce something that I've been working on in the background. And today I get the honor and privilege to announce to you that we are going to be launching a brand new platform called worshipdrummer.pro. And basically, it's going to be where all the premium content that we're going to produce is going to be housed. And one of the big items that is coming up real soon is the launch of our very first online course. And I can't tell you all the details quite yet, because we have a release plan for all of that and how we're going to bring it to you. But in short, it's going to touch on technology in worship drumming. And you could just possibly use your imagination and try to figure it out. If some of you think you know what it's all about, you can email me and I'll be glad to respond and let you know if you're right or not. So worshipdrummer.pro, our first online course, is actually launching November the 6th. So you might want to write that down. But you can also head there right now, and if you want to sign up on our launch list, our waiting list, you can do that. Just put your email and hit enter. It's as simple as that. So worshipdrummer.pro, and it's going to be where we house all the premium content, and most of it would be on the likes of video content. So thanks so much. I'm excited about it, and I pray that you get excited about it too, and subscribe so you don't miss the big launch. And we have some incredible giveaways that we are ready to throw your way. So we're partnering with some great companies as well, and we're so excited to bring this to you. So worshipdrummer.pro, and you could sign up on the launch list. So without further ado, I'm completely honored to just let you listen to my conversation with Jared Falk as we dive into how Drumeo got started and how it's evolved with the advent of YouTube. We hit on some things that I know will speak to the core of who we are. So without further ado, I'm excited to share with you my conversation with Jared Falk from Drumeo.com. I'm so happy today to have with us on this episode of the Worship Drummer podcast a man who I admire greatly, who built an incredible online drumming world. And welcome to the show, Jared Falk.
Thank you so much for having me, John. I appreciate it. I've been following you for a long time, so
for real.
Finally, actually, like, I'm looking at you on Skype, and it's like nice to put a face to the name. So
for sure. And to be quite honest, this is a huge privilege for me. I remember when I first started, we were worshipdrummer.ca, and I reached out to you. I think we even had a verbal phone conversation. It was brief, but I was asking if you would participate in a giveaway, and I think we gave away the Cobus DVD pack. So
now I remember that. Yeah, dude. Well, thank you. Virtual high fives. Hey, that was like 2009, 2010.
Yeah.
7 years ago.
Crazy.
My goodness, time flies.
So, Jared, again, we're honored to have you. And I just want to start with, because maybe people don't really know who you are. So let's just come out and say it. And you correct me if I'm wrong, but Jared, you started Drumeo.com.
That's right. I started Drumeo, and that was actually after the first half of my career. So the first half was starting around 2002 and 2003, when we really started getting into just putting out drum lesson videos. And so our idea was we wanted to like create digital video lessons and sell them. So that started in the early 2000s, and we quickly found out that it just wasn't happening at that point. People still weren't comfortable with digital downloads, not like they are today. Everyone has like one of these cell phones, like basically a supercomputer in their pocket. But back then there was none of that, right? And so we quickly switched to DVDs, and then we I think it was around 2011, we moved on and we started Drumeo.com as our kind of main flagship place, and that kind of housed all of our lessons. Before that, it was freedrumlessons.com, which we started in 2007. And before that, it was like, you know, Drum Rudiment Secrets and breaksticks.com and all these like random websites. Cause we were just trying stuff back in the early days. But it's completely changed now. You know, the way the internet is now, the way people are connected online through all the different social networks, it's completely changed. But I think it's all for the better. There's a lot of negative that comes with everything, but there's a lot of positive. And so,
wow.
Yeah.
That's a crazy intro. So let's backtrack of to who you are. Give us where you grew up, actually, and where you're located today, and how you got started playing drums. I'm assuming it must be linked to the church, but I could be wrong. Yeah. So why don't you just color us in on that one?
Sure. So I went to a Christian private school called MEI, which stands for Mennonite Educational Institute. And I wasn't playing drums. That school was grade 8 to 12. And I only started playing drums at the end of grade 8. And it was because I was tall and I didn't make the basketball team. So I'm like, well, now what? So I'm like, I'll start playing drums. And I just saw someone air drumming. And I'm like, that looks like so much fun. And some of my family is musical as well. So it kind of like there was like I was exposed to it, but no one ever handed me or put a drum set in front of me. I had to actually request it through my parents, and I had like the most supportive parents ever. So I'm very, very lucky that way. I practiced like crazy, and I played in the school jazz band right away. I played in the school concert band. I sang in the school choir.
Nice.
And so I was really, really like saturated in the music scene, like pretty much 6 months after I started playing. But I was I was super intense, right? Like when I started playing drums, it was like, you know, 6 to 8 hours of practice a day. They had to my parents had to tell me to stop.
Wow.
It's because it was like too much. So then when I was I think it was the middle of grade 11 or the 11th grade, as they say in the US. I know we're both in Canada, so we can say grade 11. I got asked to one of my teachers, a guy by the name of Ron Jansen, he played for this thing called doxa. And doxa is like a Greek word which means glory to God. Doxa was kind of an anomaly. It was started by a guy named VJ Manuel, and it was a weekly event for youth in the city of Abbotsford, where I grew up. And Ron, who was my first teacher, decided to leave doxa. And so then they asked me to audition, and they auditioned like probably five other drummers.
Wow.
And then I came in and I did my audition, and I had listened to the music so much. And their first album was a live album. and there's actually mistakes on the recording. And when I played the tracks, I played all the mistakes exactly as they were on the album. And so they loved that. And so then I got that gig, and that gig, it wasn't like we made money or anything, but every Sunday for, I don't even know how many years, it was maybe for 4 or 5 years. Every Sunday, the youth and many adults in the city of Abbotsford got together, around 2,000 people, 1,500 wow. to 2,000 people. Every Sunday we got together, and we had a worship night, and then in the middle of that, VJ, the kind of the founder of Doxa, would speak, and he would basically like reach out to the youth of Abbotsford, and many, many lives were changed throughout those, you know, 4 or 5 years when I was involved. I could be wrong about the amount of time, but also from a drumming perspective, like I was playing in front of a massive amount of people every single week.
Wow.
And in front of church, like so that was kind of like how I really got started playing in church. Like my first gig with Doxa was an outdoor gig. And I remember I got asked to play, and then I drove home from holidays because I was so stoked that I got the gig. And I was backstage. It was this outdoor concert. And I walk out, and all I see is a sea of people. And for any musicians who played in front of big crowds, it is such a rush. There was like 4 or 5,000 people on this outdoor, just like park area. And they're all there to participate in the Doxa event. And so wow. I still don't remember the event because it was such a blur.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was just on like cloud nine, but, man, that's how I really got started. And then from then, you know, I went and I've toured over Europe and Germany, Estonia, Latvia,
wow.
Finland, Mexico. I played in all the different churches, Baptist churches, Catholic churches, Mennonite churches, Alliance churches, everything, every denomination. You know, we played in Black Gospel churches,
wow.
and so I've been exposed to so many different like denominations and so many different types of people within the church. And I've experienced me playing and someone just sitting there with their fingers in their ears because it's too loud. And so, yeah, man, it's been like the majority of my experience playing drums live has been in a church. And so,
wow, that's amazing.
I don't know. That's maybe too long of a story about how I got started, but that's pretty much, you know, that's pretty much how it was. So
no, that's fascinating because, so at what point did you start? So was that like full time that you were traveling and doing? It sounds like it was.
Well, after I played in Doxa, I went to work for my family farm for around a year or 2 years. And then I went on tour with a guy named Riley Armstrong.
Yeah.
Who was on this record label called Flicker Records, and Flicker Records was owned by Audio Adrenaline.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you've heard of Audio Adrenaline, but, and so we were like recording in Franklin, Tennessee, you know, right where the Newsboys were recording. They had a studio just up the road, and it was just kind of like this hub of Christian bands. And so, you know, I toured all around the States for around 4 months. With him until I finally said, okay, I don't travel very well. And I really like, I'm kind of a homebody. I like to be with my family every night. I don't like to be in a different room
yeah.
every night. Like I look at the greats who tour and they're just like road hogs. I don't know, man. It's like, it's hard work.
Yeah.
It's everyone just like thinks it's super easy. Or, and there's just like this rock star lifestyle. It's like, you're traveling 23 and a half hours to be on stage for half an hour sometimes.
Wow.
So, yeah. And so, I mean, I got off the road and that's when I started just teaching drums. I had like 40 students and I met my student, my co-founder of Drumeo, Rick Kettner. And that's when we decided to partner up and start doing videos online.
Wow. So, yeah, I'd love to talk about the beginnings of Drumeo. In those early days, like, how did you start to think, oh, let's do this on video as opposed to just teach physical students in a room one-on-one?
Well, I had been teaching 40 students, and a lot of these students were just starting out, right? The majority of any drum teacher, especially in like the kind of like the more music school facilities, the majority of people are like beginner to low level intermediate. And so you end up teaching a lot of the same thing. And now you'll adjust that slightly based on the student, right? But I was saying a lot of the same things, and students were having results, you know, if they put in the time, they were having results. And so then I thought, there's got to be a way to leverage this, to do it once and to, like, you know, have a larger impact than just the one person. And so I ended up teaching a guy named Rick Kettner. He had been putting videos out on the Pearl Drummers Forum. This is way back in the day. I'd like to try and go back and find those first posts. But wow. Those videos got downloaded like thousands and thousands of times.
Was that on YouTube?
No, YouTube didn't exist. Yeah, this is like, download the video. You know, you click download and then you go and wait for like 20 hours while the video downloads, because there's still dial-up. So I said, when he told me this, I said, well, we should, you know, partner up and start doing drum videos online. And my dad's a businessman, and Rick's dad is a very successful businessman. And so we both kind of had that entrepreneurial spirit where we really wanted to, you know, start something of our own and create something new. And so it was kind of like the perfect storm. Rick was very technical, very strategic. I was more of like the person in front of the camera. I was dealing with a lot of people. I was creating a lot of the drum related content. And so we're like the perfect co-founders. And so that's kind of how it got started. We started with just like some videos teaching, I think it was like rock drum beats. We just taught 20. We didn't even teach. It was more like rock drum beat number one, and then play.
Yeah.
And then rock beat number two. It was a completely different world back then. But
wow. And so you said you started with DVDs, if I'm not mistaken?
We started with digital downloads.
Okay.
And I read this ebook called like 101 eBay Secrets, and I thought, oh man, this guy is selling digital products on eBay, and there's like a market for that. People want this stuff. And so we started selling our digital downloads through eBay, and Rick built this whole system to like deliver the videos.
Yeah, yeah.
And so where someone couldn't just share the download link. Like the link would expire after 24 hours and the new link would be created for each person. It's called Link Lock.
Wow.
And so that's kind of how we started. People didn't like the downloads though back then. It just wasn't practical.
So what year are we talking about?
I think it was like 2003. Like we started filming before then, but it was 2003, 2004 when all these different iterations were happening.
Wow.
2005 is when we launched the DVD. It was called a one-handed roll DVD. Mm-hmm. I think we launched in like November or October. And it did really, really well. We were like, Rick was really into direct marketing, which is like, it's a different form of marketing, but it translated really well online. And it wasn't something that anyone in the drum community was doing. Like, wow. No one was doing direct marketing. And for those that don't know, direct response marketing is like you're marketing from the time the user comes on the page or views your offer or your thing, they end up performing an action. So they either sign up on your email list or they purchase a product or something like that.
Wow.
And so, we utilize direct marketing, and we maxed out our credit cards to order like the DVDs and to print the copies. And then... I remember I went home and I told my dad, I said, yeah, because I was still living at home with my parents, right?
Yeah,
I said, we sold this many and this amount. And he just like, you could see him just doing the math. He's like, you need to get an accountant and figure out everything. Because, you know, our goal is never to, like, just take the money and buy expensive cars with it or anything. Our goal was to, like, build a business, build something that had lasting value. And so that's what we basically did. And from that point on, 2005 to 2011, we had lots of struggles. And we still, you know, we still have our struggles. They're different now than they were then because the business is more mature.
Yeah.
But, you know, now it's going great. We're going to have our best year ever we've ever had when it comes to, you know, video views, when it comes to incredible artists we've had out, when it comes to, you know, revenue for the business, when it comes to the staff that I get to work with every day. So everything's going really, really good.
Love
so
it.
We're excited.
So how did YouTube, I think, hit the scene like 2006. Does that sound about right?
Yeah. Our first videos were uploaded in late 2006.
Yeah.
On a different channel than the current Drumeo channel. We uploaded all the freedrumlessons.com videos in around June of 2007.
Nice.
So we basically, we had some money saved up. I think we had like $20,000 or $30,000. And so we, and our thing was like, how can we make a bigger impact?
Wow.
And so at that point we were just like, we were just marketers really. Like, yes, we had good videos. Yes, we delivered on what we said we were going to do. But really, like, we're just trying to keep our heads above water and pay our bills.
Yeah.
Right. So we were, you know, we were marketing aggressively and stuff. And then we had some money in the bank. So we said, how can we just make a larger impact and do something really cool for the drum community? And so that's when we decided to start freedrumlessons.com. And that had freedrumlessons.com had no advertising when it launched. It was just like, here are the greatest drum videos for beginners to get everyone started. And it was kind of like the first hub of its kind. And that's, I think that's one of the things that really, you know, amplified our reach. You know, a lot of people shared those videos. Those videos probably like 50 million views or something, right? Yeah. So that, but that was the purpose. The purpose wasn't to like, our main goal wasn't to just make money. Our main goal was to really help the community and help people who want to learn how to play drums. And that's still the thing. Like, money is the tool in which we use to kind of achieve our mission.
Hmm.
But it's not the main driver of how we operate.
Wow. That's incredible. And so when you were starting out, it's not like you envisioned this giant company necessarily. It almost seems like one thing unfolded to the next thing. Is that how it kind of happened?
Yeah, well, it's still not a giant company. Like, it's we have 25 staff. You know, we're not this massive corporation. But I never envisioned it to be even what it is today.
Yeah.
So, like, people always ask me that, like, oh, is this what you envision? It's like, absolutely not. If I could see the future and envision something like this, then I would be a multimillionaire. So it's not like that. It's more just, you know, every day we go to work, every day we grind it out. You know, we kind of like, we operate based on our values. Like, we treat all the students like family members.
Hmm.
We over-engage. So, you know, we're not perfect, but we try and answer every email, every Facebook message.
Wow.
If a student needs help, we'll help them even if they haven't paid us any money.
Hmm.
So it's not, money isn't the main driver. Money is just a tool that helps us, but it's what we do it is, we do it because we love music. That's why we do it. And so that's kind of, our values guide us in that way.
That's so cool. And it shows, to be quite honest, which is why I've always been attracted to what you've always been doing. Talk to us about, you recently, I think it was last year, moved into a new space.
Actually, 3 years ago now.
Already, wow.
We moved into this space. Yeah, I know. Time flies, man. Time flies, John.
Yeah.
Before you know it, it's Nathan, right? Nathan's gonna be like running around.
Oh yeah. Oh, I know it. So, I know.
enjoy those moments. Yeah, my kids just learned to ride bike like six months ago or 12 months ago, and I was like, I should have had my phone. So it's like, now it's in my mind what the process of him learning with
went so fast. Yeah,
sorry, you said
we're talking about the new office space.
Oh, the facility.
Yeah,
so we wanted to kind of create a new studio. Our first facility was never created to be a studio. It was created to be an office. And so the studio ended up being in the warehouse. And I had a guy named Victor Guidera. And Victor was, and still is, super passionate about audio and video recording, building systems, creating something of extremely high quality with, you know, on a more of a shoestring budget. And so, you know, what he created was like, he created our studio where one person could operate the soundboard, the video switching, and the lighting, you know, at one kind of cockpit thing. And so, so he did that at our first facility. And so all those lessons, a lot of the older ones were at that facility. And if you would have seen it, man, it's like, it's not a studio. Like, we didn't have a ton of outboard gear and stuff, but the drums sounded incredible. The videos still look great today. Yeah. But it wasn't big enough, and there were many other flaws like low ceilings and stuff like that. So we did a Kickstarter. Our community was incredible. We raised like $100,000, and the renovation for our new space actually costed like more than $300,000 to put together our whole studio. But we did it, and I think less than a year later, we had to expand into the next. We're kind of in like a strata complex.
Yeah, yeah.
We had to expand to the next facility.
Nice.
And so now we have like a fairly large facility, 5,000 or 6,000 square feet, and we have two studios because we also run a website called Pianote, and we run guitarlessons.com. And so we're kind of creating like Drumeo versions of like how to learn piano and how to learn guitar.
Yeah. I subscribe to the piano one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. We're working on some really cool stuff for that right now. Like it's all a process, right? And so we launched it. I think we had great content to launch. We already have a great community, and it's something that's just like, it's only getting better and better. So.
Oh, I love it, man. Let's talk. Before actually we talk education and worship, how has it been to host some of the world's best drummers, like literally in your home?
Yeah. It's been what you would think it was. It's like surreal, incredible. Like we still will like, you watch the lessons and people kind of like, sometimes on the YouTube comments, they'll mock our reactions and they think we're faking it. We're like, dude, we're not faking it, man. Like when Benny Grab was sitting beside me and I'm like, I can't believe you're here. That's legit.
Yeah.
Like I love Benny's drumming. You know, he's been a huge inspiration to me. Right. When Thomas Lang was sitting there, it's like, man, I watch Creative Control. I watch Creative Coordination, all of his stuff. Like Thomas Lang's a incredible drummer.
Yeah.
You know, and then the list goes on. Right. And so, it's just like, I just try and soak it all in. I just try and like, you know, I'm so, so grateful that I get to be here. I'm so grateful that people want to watch the videos.
Yeah.
And that people continue watching the videos and continue sharing. And so for me, it's just a matter of like, you know, making sure that I always keep myself in check and be like, hey, I don't necessarily deserve this, but I feel very, very grateful for what I've got. And I don't ever want to take it for granted. Wow. So.
That's so cool. One more question before we jump to a little more of the worship side of stuff.
Sure.
What are like the top three things you've learned with all of these drummers coming in that you could impart to us, kind of like everything condensed, and just give us like the top three nuggets that you've learned or gleaned?
Well, I think tomorrow they might be different if I listen back. But the biggest one I'll say is always to be a student of the instrument and always listen to music. I think kind of looking back at the great musicians that kind of paved the way for us, there's nothing new under the sun. So if you're playing this cool new pattern, that's great. It might be 100% unique to you, but there is someone that created something similar that inspired you to do that. And so it's always good to kind of like take a step back and like look at the people that have paved the way before you,
yeah,
and got us to this point, because there's so many great players. And to not, I find some of the young drummers now, they're just like, they're almost a little bit too cocky and just like, just calm down. Like you're not that special. You're great. You're a great player, but you know, look back at, you know, some of the other stuff, and then you'll understand why you're playing those things.
Hmm.
You know, why you're playing like a rock beat. People understand that there wasn't all rock music. It didn't start as rock music. Right. No one still was playing. Everything was swing, and before that, everything was like marching,
yeah,
drums. Right. And so it's been this process, and it's slowly evolved throughout the years. And so if we can look back at that, we can learn a lot. Another thing, one of my tips is, and this is something I've kind of observed from many of the drummers, like the greatest drummers you see that come on Drumeo, if I talk to them about how much they practice, some of them will say not very much, 100%, but majority of them, they practice an incredible amount.
Wow.
Like they work so hard at their craft. Like one drummer said he was practicing like 6 to 8 hours a day before his Drumeo lesson.
Wow.
And that's because he wanted to be perfect. And so my thing is like with persistent practice promotes progress, right? So if you every day or every other day or on some form of schedule, sit down and practice the drums, if you truly want to get better, that's the only way.
Yeah.
Like simply watching another drum video or looking at something, reading an article online is not necessarily going to make you better. Hmm. There's skill, there's knowledge, right?
Yeah.
Knowledge is important, but in order to play drums, you have to have skill. Like if you just read about soccer, you won't be a good soccer player.
Yeah.
If you just read about hockey, you won't be a good hockey player. If you just read about drumming, you won't be a good drummer. It really takes that persistent practice, and that will promote your progress.
Love it.
And, yeah. And I was, I compare it to, I'm big on like analogies. So I'll compare it. One of my students today was like, they were kind of bummed at how they've been progressing. And I said, think about your drumming as like, if watching grass grow. So if you go and sit outside right now and look at the grass, you're not going to see it move. You know, it's not all of a sudden going to just shoot up. But if you go away for a couple of days and come back, the grass will have grown.
Wow.
You're like, huh. So and the same thing goes with drumming. Like if you just, you know, water your drumming every day a little bit, or give your drumming a little bit of sun every day, when you come back, when you review that, you know, when you record your video this time and then a month later record another video, you will have seen that grass grow.
Hmm.
And so it's so important to like recognize that, like we're in this kind of like instant gratification culture, right?
Yeah.
And that's applying, a lot of people are applying those values to music and learning an instrument, and that's really, really too bad, because the result of that is less people will learn an instrument.
Wow.
We want more people to learn an instrument.
So
that's the second thing, is like, don't be down on yourself, continue practicing, set your goals, set a practice schedule. And I don't really have a third one, so that's all I got here. Listen to music, set a practice schedule.
That's amazing. That's a great few tidbits of advice. So let's shift that gear and let's talk a bit about worship and education, because it's not often that we cross those two paths or cross them together. But how important do you think music education is for the worship department or just a worship musician in general?
I think you absolutely need some form of education. everything, different things work for different people, but an educated musician, someone who understands their instrument on another level, is going to be able to play at a different level and add more depth, and basically create a better unified sound, right? Mm. So especially in worship teams, it's not about one person
right
being a really good musician. It's about you having this one team of people that's, you know, spiritually, emotionally, you know, they have the correct skills to create that unified sound and to like lead a group of people to a certain place.
Yeah.
And so the better equipped you can be in that case, the better you're going to do at that job. So I obviously think, and you're asking the wrong person if you're asking whether music education is good. I obviously think it's good.
Oh, absolutely. Which is why I want to hit it a bit, because I think, and I don't think I'm wrong on it, but I think there is a school of musicians out there that think, pardon the pun, there's a school of musicians that think education is not important. And what I mean by that is simple, basic theory, understanding the proper music language, and they just show up thinking, I got the chops, and that's all I need. I can bring it in the moment. So what would you, or how would you teach that kind of a person? Let's just say you're the worship leader or the music director, and you have someone who's got that kind of an attitude. How would you approach that musician? Because it's not necessarily just a drummer. It could be anyone on the mm-hmm. team.
Sure. Well, attitude isn't a reflection of skill. So that's the first thing. If someone has that type of attitude, but every time they sit down and play their instrument, they sound incredible and they're locking in with the band, they're not taking over, they're doing their job, you know, they're not being a disruption, they're not being a distraction, no one can say that's wrong because the end result is great, mm. right? If someone is having a bad attitude and saying they don't want to learn theory, they don't want to learn this, and then the results are bad, well, then obviously they need help. When it comes to theory and like reading music, we just had Dennis Chambers in. Dennis Chambers doesn't read. Okay?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying you have to read, but I think Dennis Chambers is kind of one of those anomalies, but I can't say whether or not someone else isn't an anomaly.
True.
Right? They might be. And so for me, it's like, it really depends on the person and how they learn and, how perceptive they are to like when playing with other musicians. For me personally, I learn and I play piano and I play a little bit of guitar. I understand the fretboard.
Yeah.
And I understand music. Like I understand how chords are constructed. If someone says, let's add the seventh, or if someone says, you know, this is, let's change this to the key of D instead of the key of G, I'll know the chords that they're playing in the key of D instead of the key of G. So if I'm looking at like a standard worship chart that's written in the key of G, I can basically transpose it. And so when they're all talking, they say, let's come in on the D at this part, then I can be like, okay, I know what that is because I have a basic understanding of theory. So I can't see it hurting you. If you're someone who doesn't need it but have it, it's not going to hurt you. So,
yeah. And I guess
I would say learn it.
Yeah, for me the heart of why I'm like stuck on this thought is in Psalm 78. It talks about David, who we all know is a skilled musician, but even him as a leader. And it says that David led them with integrity of heart and with skillful hands. So that's in a leadership context. But if we apply that to us as musicians, I would say it still applies. Like our heart has to be in check and we have to play with skillful hands. And like you already said, like you have to do the time. And so for me, I maybe education isn't necessarily the end all word that we should probably use, but the skill part of it, like, are you putting in the time? Are you practicing? And are you growing in your craft?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sure for some people out there, it would be education because they've plateaued. They haven't seen that grass grow like you talked about. And I think if you've hit that level, take it to the next step. Take lessons, whether it's through Drumeo, because, you know, you don't have the physical time to meet up with the teacher, or be it music theory and learn a bit more, pick up another instrument and continue to grow in your skill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I 100% agree. It's like I said, it's not going to hurt you to have a better understanding of theory.
Mm.
You know, whether that's melodic theory or whether that's rhythmic theory and understanding the note values better. So when, you know, a lot of times in church, you'll play chord note triplets, right?
Yeah.
Or I got totally embarrassed when I first started playing in church because there was like a shuffle. You know, it's an older song. It's called Pour Out My Heart. I was on the Brian Dirksen album.
Oh.
And yeah, it's got this like halftime shuffle. It's totally like Jeff Porcaro style, Rosanna halftime shuffle.
Yes. Yeah.
And I actually took lessons from that teacher after I totally bombed the part, the guy that played on that album. I'm like, I gotta learn how to play a shuffle. And the next time it was like, you know, they started playing a hymn in 3/4 and they wanted some element of rhythm in it. And I couldn't do it. I'm like, well, I gotta learn this. And so what is it? You know, that's the knowledge.
Yeah.
How do I play it? That's the skill.
Yeah.
There's two very important elements to everything, right? And so I think it's obviously super important. It's just everyone's different. So, and especially in church, like there's so many different cultures, personalities.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to manage, you know, especially on a worship team, which is volunteer based.
Hmm.
For the most part, it's volunteer based, other than some of the mega churches. But
yeah,
no, you're not necessarily dealing with professional musicians. So to have the expectation of going home and practicing and taking lessons is different.
Yeah.
Than in a professional setting where, you know, they're getting paid. If you don't do your job, you get fired.
Right.
Right. So churches maybe need to adopt that. I've always been like, I've never ran a worship team or anything, but I've always like my advice to the worship leaders has always been, if someone can't do their job or they're being a disruption because their skill isn't at the right level, then they need to be removed.
Hmm.
Not because we don't like them as a person or don't think that they're we still want them to be a part of the congregation, but you can't be on stage and not understanding what's going on, causing a huge distraction.
Yeah.
At that point, if they're not trying to better themselves, if they're not making an effort, then absolutely they should be serving somewhere else. Because I'm sure they've got great skills in another field, and the, you know, churches need help in so many different areas.
Yeah, yeah.
So if it's music, there's probably, you know, 5 other things that might interest them.
Now, if there are any drummers listening that are interested in Drumeo and everything that you guys have to offer, would you say it covers like the beginner, the intermediate, and the advanced drummer, or where does it kind of hit?
Yeah, Drumeo is definitely, like, we cover everything. I challenge any drummer who is at any level to go in there and not find something that challenges them and something that inspires them. We have like 3,000 or 4,000 hours of lessons.
Wow.
So, you know, there is something for everyone. Like, I haven't taken a private lesson for years. I use the website. You know, like every time I go practice, I have my favorite set in the play-alongs, because you get access to like 200 songs. Yeah. And they're all drumless, and you can turn the click on and turn the click off. So that's what I use in my practice. That's what I do in my drum clinics. I just use the Drumeo songs. They're great songs. So yeah, it's definitely for everyone.
That's so cool. 2 questions left for you. One is, what could we expect, if you're allowed to share, what could we expect down the road from Drumeo? Like what's cooking, anything that we should get excited about?
There's tons happening right now. We're working on an app. We're basically creating a new format for full bands. So part of the thing with playing drums is you want to play with other musicians. And so the first band is actually, I think it's next week, JP Bouvet is coming out, and he's bringing his band.
Nice.
And so instead of like a drummer playing to tracks, you're going to get to see a drummer like JP Bouvet, world-class drummer, playing with his bandmates. And it'll be, I'm calling it like an educational concert,
mm-hmm.
because it's not like this huge performance where they're going to be jumping around headbanging. They might do a little bit of that. But even if they do that during the performances, everyone's going to have a chance to, like, you know, talk about what was going on. And so it'll be a kind of a different kind of concert format. So we're doing that. We're also working on a lot of the other stuff, like the Guitario, piano, some different stuff, which a lot of drummers would like to learn piano or guitar. And those markets are, when it comes to like just the musicians in those markets, they're all great people as well. And so the end goal is to connect musicians from all around the world, and piano players to drummers, guitarists to drummers, bass players, drummers.
That's so cool.
And just kind of create a community.
Love it, man. The last question I want to ask you is more of a heart question. Our slogan at Worship Drummer is putting the heart before beat. And just wondering if you can leave with our listeners a piece of advice that you'd like to impart to them. Not drumming and practical, but more spiritual and of the heart, if that makes sense.
Sure. I think it all comes, playing drums in church all comes down to your intent. Your intent needs to be pure, and you need to understand why you are there. You need to understand the purpose. And I think any good task or any good business, any good life, all comes down to purpose, right? Why are you here? Why are you here right now? Why did you get up in the morning and come play in church? Why did you rehearse the Thursday or Friday before, or whenever you did?
Yeah.
You know, you didn't, if you're doing that to serve yourself, if you're doing it because you want to show off to the whole church how good you are, that's, in my opinion, that's wrong.
Yeah.
It's not about you. It's about creating like this cool unified sound that brings the people in the congregation to a place of worship. That's the whole purpose.
So good.
And so if I think any drummer listening, if you are playing in church, if your intent is to go there and, you know, show off, you should really consider not going or doing something else until you kind of get to that place where you're understanding why you're there. Because the hard thing about drumming, and this is, like, I've done so much drumming in churches, drumming is very theatrical, right?
Yeah.
When we drum, like, we're moving all four limbs. It's different than guitar or like someone sitting at the piano. Drumming, it's like, and when people watch a drummer, they're kind of looking for that, you know, Buddy Rich, Tommy Lee kind of like stick spins. They want someone to be animated. Be yourself. That might be a theatrical thing, and that's fine if it's that yourself and your intent is pure.
Yeah.
When I play drums in church, you'll see me moving. If you want me to sit still, don't ask me to play. So, you know, I don't necessarily think about it when I'm doing it. I'm just enjoying the moment.
Yeah.
Playing music and being with good people. So, yeah, my main message is analyze your intent, know your purpose, understand why you're there, and do everything for the right reasons.
Well, there you have it, my conversation with Jared Falk. I hope you've enjoyed hearing what he had to say about how Drumeo got started, and also the importance that he sees in education and knowing your craft. For episode show notes, head to worshipdrummer.com/017 for episode 17. As well, head to worshipdrummer.pro where you can subscribe just by entering your email address to our launch list so you'll be notified when our online course is ready to go. But that actual launch date is November 6th, but we'll have some stuff leading up to the big launch, such as announcements on the giveaways and everything we're doing. So if you're not on that email list, you will miss out. So we hope that you've enjoyed this episode of the Worship Drummer podcast. I'm John Manna, and I pray you always keep putting the heart before beat.